All right, the part of the chapter that I want to focus on is in verse 23, where the Bible reads, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Turn to Colossians, just a few pages to the right of your Bible. You're in Ephesians. Go to Colossians 1:18, and I'll show you a similar concept and then get into the message. It says in Colossians 1:18, "And he," speaking of Jesus Christ, "and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Now, the title of my sermon this morning is this: Why Our Church is Baptist. Now, a lot of people have asked me about this through the years, and I think that it's something that we need to understand. Why is the name of our church Faithful Word Baptist Church? And that's what I'm preaching on this morning. But before I get into that, I want to explain to you first why our church is not called Baptist. The reason, and of course our church is called Baptist, but why... How do I explain this? The reason that we're not, we are Baptist. What I'm trying to say is that there's a reason that doesn't make us Baptist. And that's what I'm going to explain right now. Because we are not part of a Baptist denomination. Okay, that was a mouthful. It's like a tongue twister. But anyway, I want to preach, first of all, before I preach why we're a Baptist, I'm going to give you a reason that does not make us a Baptist. We are not part of a Baptist denomination. Okay? Now, today you've heard of a lot of churches that are called non-denominational, right? Put up your hand if you've heard of that. Non-denominational. Everybody has. And here's the funny thing. Many of these so-called non-denominational churches are part of a denomination.
Yes, right.
But they've just taken it out of the name. Now, we are not part of any Baptist denomination. We are completely and 100% independent and autonomous, yet we choose to call ourselves Faithful Word Baptist Church. Why is that? Why do we go with that name? And I'm going to show you scripturally why we choose that name. But first of all, I want to tell you this. Names are important. Names matter. A lot of people think the names don't matter. But if you study the Bible, there was great significance given in the names that things received. For example, God changed many people in the Old Testament's name. He changed Abram's name to Abraham. He said, "Thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." Sarai was changed to Sarah. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Esau's name was changed to Edom. Jesus Christ changed the name of his disciple Simon. And what did he change it to?
Peter.
He called him Peter. And Jesus is the one who gave him that name. Even Jesus' name itself had great significance. When the angel was speaking to Joseph in a dream, he said that he would call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that name is significant, meaning Savior. And so all throughout the Bible, we see a great significance placed upon names. Why is it important that we're not part of a denomination? Well, we just read the scripture in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 1 that clearly told us that Christ is the head of the church and that the church is to be subject unto Christ. Now, the church is the congregation. The church is the local assembly. The Bible teaches clearly, it says, "In the midst of the congregation will I sing praise unto thee," in Psalm 22:22. And then in Hebrews 2:13 it says, "In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee," quoting that. So therefore, a church is a congregation. It's a group of people. It's not a building. It's not an organization or a denomination. It's a group of people, just like we are here assembled today. We are a church this morning as we're here assembled. And you see, if Christ is truly going to be the head of this church, we can't have a different head giving us orders and telling us what to do. And that's exactly what a denomination is. When a church is part of a denomination, you have a headquarters somewhere in some distant state or even a distant country that is basically calling the shots, making the rules, and telling pastors what to preach, telling churches how to operate, and so forth. And basically, that denomination becomes the head of the church. That's who they look to as the final authority. That's who has the final say. We ran into a church many years ago. We were out soul winning, Brother Dave and I. And we ran into a guy. He said our church, and it was a Baptist church right here in Tempe, said we just had to pull out of the denomination. And we said, "Really? Why is that?" He said, "Well, because the denomination voted to start approving of homosexuality." And this is a Baptist church. And he said they basically voted and decided that it's okay for deacons to be homos. And, you know, they had all this stuff. And he said it was a really hard thing for us to do to get out of that denomination. Because he said they own all the property, they own the buses, they own the pastor's pension plan. So you see the conflict of interest that's created when you have somebody in a distant place controlling the finances of your church, controlling the preaching, controlling the doctrine, and then when you try to go against the tide, you end up losing all the money, losing all the security and so forth. That church should have never been in a denomination in the first place because it's not a scriptural concept.
That's right.
Independent churches are what the Bible teaches. A church in this city, a church in that city, with one head, and that head is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm the pastor of the church, but I'm not the head of the church. I'm just carrying out the orders. I'm just carrying out what the Bible says. And I'm not the boss. This book is the boss.
Amen.
And if I conflict with what this book says, we'll go with what this book says and not with what I say. Go to Galatians 1 and I'll show you that. Look at Galatians chapter 1. You see, the Apostle Paul started a lot of churches, didn't he? But he was not the head of those churches. He was not the pope of those churches. He was not the denominational headquarters of the movement of Christianity. Because look what he says in verse 6 of Galatians 1. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Watch what he says. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He said, look, if what I tell you doesn't line up with the Word of God, then go with what the Word of God says. Don't go with what I said. He said, if I'm preaching another gospel, then curse me. He said, I'm not the boss. Jesus Christ and the Word of God is the boss. And so we as a church should not be part of a denomination. And I'll tell you why the devil wants to get churches linked up into denominations. Because there are so many thousands and thousands and thousands of Bible-believing churches across this world, across the globe. The devil has to go and try to attack each church. And boy, he wants to. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But the gates of hell will try to prevail against it, and the devil will attack. And he has to go and attack all these different separate churches. And I've seen a lot of churches which were once great churches go back. But because they are independent, they don't all have to go bad. If one church goes bad, another church is starting up over here that's preaching right. But the problem is, the devil would rather get everybody linked up together into a denomination. Then he doesn't have to go attack all of the thousands of churches. He can just attack the top, and then the corruption's going to filter down through. All he has to do is corrupt that headquarters, and then they start voting to accept homos and change the doctrine and so forth. And you can see how it's easier to destroy. It's the same thing in Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel. They're all joined together, and God wanted them to be separated, to be distributed, not to all be linked into a one-world government, into a one-world system. That's always the devil's plan of getting everybody linked up together instead of being separated or divided as God wants and as God preaches. You say, well, God's for unity. He's for unity within the church. But he's not for one unified worldwide church. That's Catholic doctrine. That's Roman Catholicism. And it's a false doctrine. And the man, the Pope, has basically become a substitute for Jesus Christ because he is the head of that church, not Jesus Christ. It's what he says that they go with. And so I just wanted to explain to you, I still haven't figured out grammatically how to express what I was trying to say when I first started the sermon, but this is not the reason why we're Baptist. How's that? I'm going to give you the reason why we are Baptist. Why is our church called Baptist? Well, go to John chapter 18. Why is our church called Baptist? Well, first of all, we have to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of a name? Why even name our church at all? What if we were to just have no sign up and just a blank window out front and just we don't have a name for our church? It's just our church. Now, what prompted us to even give our church a name in the first place? Stop and think about that. Why do you name your children? Now, I have 5 children and I name them to tell them apart. Now, sure, I can look at them and tell them apart, but if I want to talk about them, if I want to refer to them, I give them a name, and I'm not George Foreman. You know, I'm not giving them all the same name, George, okay? I don't have 8 kids named George, because that wouldn't make any sense, because the problem with that is I wouldn't be able to tell it apart if I'm saying to my wife, hey, I've got George with me. You know, it's like, okay, well, which one is that? So I give my children unique names, and we've even thought of names like, oh, I like this name. But we said, nope, that name is a little too similar to one of our other children's names. We want to be able to easily distinguish the names of our children. So why do we give things names? To identify them. God names things all throughout the Bible. Even in Genesis 1, he named day, night, sea, earth. He gave all these names. And all throughout the Bible, names mean something. Names are significant. So the purpose for naming our church is to identify it so that we can talk about it, so that we can refer to it, so that people will know what kind of a name it is. Now, you can tell certain things about names, can't you? Like, let's say, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone. Let's say a girl walks in and her name is Butterfly. What can, we could probably deduce that her parents are hippies, you know? And I'm not criticizing that name. I mean, if somebody's name is Butterfly, hey, cool name. But I'm just saying, you know, when you hear somebody's name is Moon or Butterfly, you know, it kind of tells you something. Now, what if somebody's name is Solomon, Isaac, John, Miriam, and Rebecca? What do you kind of deduce right away with that? Oh, these are Bible names, you know? So you can kind of hear a name, and it can tell you something. Now, what if a person's name was Chong? What do you deduce about that person? They're probably Chinese, right? What if somebody's name is Umberto? What are you gonna assume about that person? Do you see what I mean? So names are identifiers, okay? You can look at my last name, Anderson, and if you know what that name means, you can tell that I'm of Scandinavian descent because it's a Scandinavian name. And so you can tell things about people and things by their name. So that's the purpose of a name. So when choosing a name for our church, we want to choose the name that is going to best identify our church. We don't want to call our church Faithful Word Catholic Church. Why? Because people are going to assume that we're baptizing babies, that the pastor wears a dress and calls himself Father. We're going to assume that it's a false religion following the cult of Rome, okay, and the Pope, and so forth. So we want to give a name that shows people most clearly who and what we are. We don't want people to get the wrong idea. You know, there's nothing wrong with naming your child Humberto if you're Hispanic, you know, but if you're Swedish and you're naming your child Umberto, people might raise an eyebrow, like, what are you doing, you know, because of the fact that it's such a distinctly ethnic name, okay? Now, if you're not a hippie, no, I'm just kidding, but anyway, go to John 18, verse 19. I love what Jesus said here. This is Jesus on trial. He's about to be crucified, but he's on trial. It says in verse 19, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I love that statement. I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Now, does it sound like Jesus is trying to hide who he is or what he believes? He said, I didn't say or do anything in secret. I spake openly to the world. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. You're in John, just back a few pages to Matthew chapter 10. This is when he's sending out his disciples to go out and preach the gospel and to preach the kingdom of God. It says in verse 26 of Matthew 10, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. He's saying, look, don't hide who you are. Don't hide what you believe. Don't hold back. If it's true, if it's God's word, if it's in the Bible, just preach it. Speak openly to the world. What I tell you in the ear, he said, preach it upon the housetops. So we as Christians, we as Bible-believing Christians should not be trying to hide who we are, what we believe, and just try to kind of sneak up on people. No. In choosing a name for our church, we want a name that clearly expresses who we are. I mean, I want it to be the most descriptive name possible so that when somebody sees that name, they'll say, okay, I can tell what type of church this is. Now go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Many have suggested, they've said, well, wait a minute, Pastor Anderson, in the Bible, you'll notice churches, they don't have these names like Faithful Word Baptist Church. You know, in the Bible, when we read about churches, it basically just mentions what it says here in 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Let's look at it. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth. So right there, Pastor Anderson, it just says the church at Corinth. You know, why not just call your church the church at Tempe? The church in Ephesus, the church in Smyrna, the church in Pergamum. Why give it a name? Why not just call it the church in Timothy? Well, here's the difference. This is in the very early days of Christianity, to the point where there was one church in Corinth. There was the church at Jerusalem. There was the church at Ephesus. Okay. So did you really need any other identification than that? Oh, it's just a church that's preaching Jesus Christ in Corinth. But how many churches are there in Tempe? We live in a metropolis. We live in this mega city of the Phoenix area that has millions and millions of people in it. Do you realize that when this country was founded, the largest city in our nation, I mean, if you looked at the big cities, I mean, we're talking New York, Philadelphia, you know, population-wise, they were about the size of Maricopa, not the county. The town, Maricopa. I mean, they were smaller than Casa Grande. Do the research. Look it up. Get the population of when our country was founded. I mean, we live in a day of gigantic mega cities. We don't just have towns. You know, we would consider those big cities today if we saw it, we'd consider it a small town. But today, we live in a city of Phoenix where there are literally thousands of churches. Literally. There are literally in excess of 1,000 churches that would claim to be Christian, that would claim to be preaching the Bible, that would claim to be following Jesus Christ. So therefore, if we don't identify who we are, if we don't have a name that identifies us or sets us apart, what if somebody's in Phoenix and they're looking for a Bible-preaching church? Should they just try all 2,000 of them until they find the one that's preaching the right doctrine? I mean, think about it. If they went Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night to a different church, they could only try 156 churches a year. They'd have to go for 10 or 20 years, you know, to try the churches. Obviously, you're not going to try every church. You're going to look at the name of the church, and that's going to help you determine whether you're even in the ballpark. Because if it says Catholic in the name, you know what they're about. If it says Lutheran in the name, you know what they're about. If it says Presbyterian in the name, if it says Methodist in the name, if it says whatever the name, it's going to tell you something about that church. So a generic name such as the church at Tempe, and there are churches that are called that, there are churches that have names like that, it's not going to do when there are hundreds of churches in that town. Now other churches try to have the most generic name possible, like they'll just call their church Grace Community Church, Christ Community, you know, the church at Tempe, the open door, you know, or whatever they call it. Now, if you look at that name right there, the only thing it tells me is that they probably don't stand for much of anything. You know what I mean? Because they're putting out a name that just says generic. It just says, come find out what we are. You know, we're not going to tell you. We're gonna get you in the door first before we take. Look, why would we want to have a name just Faithful Word Church and people don't know? You know, what do you believe? What's your doctrine? Oh, we're just Christian. Faithful Word Christian Church. Look, the word Christian is so generic that literally, I mean, Mormons call themselves Christian, Catholics call themselves Christian, Jehovah's Witnesses call themselves. I mean, every so-called quasi-Bible-believing place will call themselves Christian, but they are not Christian. And so we need to have a name that identifies us more specifically than that. Now let's talk about where the term Baptist comes from, okay? Historically, why a church has been called Baptist churches? Why are we called Baptists? Go to Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to explain this to you from a few different angles. But go to Acts chapter 8, I'm going to show you where the term Baptist comes from, because the term Baptist is a term that's a pretty broad term too. Now, it's not near as broad as Christian. It's much more specific than Christian. Because if we see the term Baptist, any church that calls themselves Baptist is going to at least on paper claim that they believe in the authority of the Word of God as the final authority of faith and practice, the Holy Bible. Now, it may not really work out that way when you show up on Sunday, but that's what they're at least claiming. They're at least saying, hey, we believe in the authority of the Bible. They're at least claiming that they believe salvation is by faith and not of works. They're at least claiming that you can't lose your salvation. They're at least claiming these basic things that at least get us in the ballpark. If we see Christian, we don't know whether they're following the Pope. We don't know if they're following the Jehovah's Witnesses. We don't know. For example, there's a Catholic church on campus at ASU called the Newman Center. The Newman Center. You know, so all kinds of people just think, oh, it's a non-denominational Christian gathering, but you get there and it's Roman Catholic. There are all kinds of Southern Baptist churches, which are part of a denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention. And they'll sit there and say, oh, we're not a denomination, we're just a fellowship. You know what? If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. 10% of their offerings go to that denomination. They're a member of it. They can't. If they preach like me, they'd be thrown out of that denomination so fast it wouldn't even be funny. And so you see churches in Tempe that are called Cross Point Church. Oh, non-denominational, just Cross Point Church or so-and-so Christian Church. But then you look at the sign and in the tiny little fine print, it says SBC, Southern Baptist Convention. So it's a Southern Baptist church. It's part of a denomination, but they're just trying to hide that. They want the diehards to know what those little initials mean, but they don't want to broadcast that they're a Baptist church. They're trying to hide that. I was preaching in a nursing home, and we had our Baptist service. You know, and I preached this Baptist service at a nursing home. Well, another church came in after us that had the non-denominational service. And the church had a totally generic name, but I went home and looked it up on the internet, and it was part of a denomination of thousands of churches all across America, and it was basically a Pentecostal charismatic church. Non-denominational? I mean, what does that even mean? You're part of a denomination, you're a Pentecostal, you're a charismatic, you're a holy roller, you're a tongue-talking, bark like a dog, roll in the aisles, Pentecostal, and yet you're claiming non-denominational because everybody's welcome or whatever. Because you have no doctrine, you still believe you can lose your salvation like the Pentecostals do. You still believe in the tongue speak. You just don't want people to know that. You just want to suck in other people without being honest with them of who you are. Where did I have the tongue to? Acts 8. Where does the term Baptist come from? You say, well, that's great, Pastor Anderson. Baptist at least identifies us and narrows us down a little bit. Hey, at least they're a Bible-believing, supposedly, salvation by faith, eternal security of the believer. It narrows down the basics. But where does that term come from? Well, I'm going to show you a couple different places that it comes from. First of all, people were called Anabaptists many, many hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Not just Baptists, but Anabaptists was a term that was applied unto people who preached the gospel and baptized their converts. They were called Anabaptists or Rebaptizer. Here's why. Because the Roman Catholic Church was controlling most of Europe at that time, or Protestant churches that are just pretty much Catholicism-like, and they were basically sprinkling babies at birth. Okay? Well, when these people would grow up and actually believe on Christ and be saved and get out of the Catholic Church, then they would be rebaptized, like biblically baptized. Let's look at that in the Bible. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 36. It says, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?'" So he says, look, here's some water. What's stopping me from being baptized? "And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them." Now, if you have a Catholic Bible, verse 37 is going to be gone. It's just going to go 35, 36, 38. And 37 has been intentionally removed because, of course, the Catholics don't want you to get a verse of Scripture that says you got to believe on Jesus Christ before you get baptized, because they baptize babies. And the Protestants aren't going to like that verse either, because they baptize babies too. And so if you're holding a Bible in your hand that does not contain verse 37, you are holding a Bible that comes from the Roman Catholic Church. That's where it came from. And these modern Bibles, the NIV, the New American Standard, they're basically coming from Catholic manuscripts and the Catholic corrupted version of the Bible that removed this verse. And so if this verse isn't in your Bible, you got the wrong Bible. Acts 8:37 is clear. You've got to believe before you get baptized. So let me ask this. If somebody got sprinkled as a baby and then they grow up as an adult and get saved, don't they need to be baptized after they got saved? Absolutely. I'll prove that to you. Go to Acts 19. You're in Acts 8. Go to Acts 19. Before you get there, I'll read you this. Matthew 3:16. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." So that right there said that when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Now that means what? He went down into the water. Now in Acts 8:37, it said the same thing. It said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and Eutych, and he baptized them. In John chapter 3, it says, and John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. They were sprinkling people. They went to a place where there was a lot of water, they both got down in the water, and they dunked them underwater, the real way to be baptized, immersion. And so baptism is by immersion, and it comes after you're saved, after you believe on Jesus Christ. Look at Acts 19, verse 1. It says, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said to them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So here these people had been baptized by John the Baptist. But wait a minute, what was John the Baptist preaching? Well, according to this and according to every other biblical account, John the Baptist was preaching about him who was coming after him. He said he was just preparing the way of the Lord, making his path. He said he was coming before Jesus Christ. When Jesus came on the scene, he pointed at him and said, behold, the Lamb of God was taking away the sin of the world. He also talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. If you look up Matthew 3, Luke 3, all that, Mark 1, John 1, when you see John the Baptist preaching, he's preaching about the Holy Spirit. He's preaching about the Holy Ghost. He's preaching about Jesus Christ every time. But yet these people had been baptized by John the Baptist, but they did not even know whether the Holy Ghost even existed. They did not know about Jesus Christ. Did they get John's message? No. And so once they did believe on him, once they did get saved, do you notice that they got baptized again? Now, did John the Baptist baptize them wrong? Did he sprinkle them? No. He dunked them, but guess what? They weren't even saved. So once they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, once they actually got saved, they had to get baptized again, okay? Because getting baptized before you're saved means nothing. You're supposed to get baptized after you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, how many times do you have to be baptized? Only once after you got saved. Anytime you got baptized before you got saved, you were just taking a bath. I mean, you got wet, but you weren't getting baptized because you got to be saved in order to be baptized, okay? And so that right there proves that, you know, Paul rebaptized people if they weren't saved when they got baptized. So, if we run into somebody who got baptized in a Baptist church, but then we ask that person, do you know for sure if you die today you go to heaven? And they say, I have no clue. Right? And then what if you ask that person, well, who baptized you? And they say, well, Pastor Anderson baptized me. Well, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I think I've lived a pretty good life. I think I might go. It's clear that the person not saved, they don't believe on Christ. Do they listen to what I preach? Do they believe what I preach? No. You say, well, how in the world, Pastor Anderson, how dare you? Are you saying that you've ever baptized somebody that might not have been saved? I'm sure that I have, and you know what? There's another guy that had too. His name was John the Baptist. Because here's some of the people that John the Baptist baptized. They don't even know whether the Holy Ghost exists. They don't know who Jesus is. Okay, so look, you're not always going to be 100% sure that everybody that you baptize is saved. There are people who get baptized that aren't saved. There are people who are saved who've never been baptized. Because baptism is not what saves you. But the Bible is showing us clearly in Acts 19 that a person who wasn't saved when they got baptized needs to get rebaptized. So this derogatory term was given unto churches that were anti-Catholic, that were preaching against Catholicism, preaching the true gospel of believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. They began to be known as Anabaptists. And it became illegal to rebaptize someone. And it was actually the death penalty in many cases in Europe if you were to baptize someone whom the Catholic Church had already baptized. And so this name of rebaptizer was a derogatory term given to those who were getting people saved and baptizing them. Now, let me ask you this. Does every group that baptizes by immersion after a person, quote-unquote, gets saved, does that mean that they're preaching the right gospel and plan of salvation? There are a lot of people who preach another gospel, that preach you can lose your salvation, and they still baptize people. So this term Anabaptist didn't only, it's not like everybody who was called Anabaptist was really saved. You think everybody in the Bible who was called Christian was saved? Was everybody who was known as Anabaptist saved? Is everyone today known as a Baptist saved? No. Because salvation is based on whether that person personally and individually believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and has put their faith and trust in Him to save them. But at least Anabaptist tells you something about those people, doesn't it? It tells you that they were standing against the Catholic Church and that they were dunking people underwater after they believed and rebaptizing those who got saved. So that's what the term Anabaptist means, and that's where the term Baptist today has kind of sprung from that and been passed down from that. That's one reason. But there's another reason why we use the term Baptist. You say, well, Pastor Anderson, that's just historical. Is there a biblical reason for using the term Baptist? Is it biblical? Well, look, if you would, at Acts chapter 11. Because the Bible uses the term Christian three times. Now, who thinks that Christian is a biblical term? We should call ourselves Christians. Yeah, that's a good term, right? I don't think anybody's going to argue with the fact that Christian is a biblical term, right? I don't think anybody's offended by you calling them a Christian, you know? I don't think anybody would be offended if we put a faithful word Christian church. You know, that's not going to offend anybody. But the problem with the word Christian is that it's too broad. It doesn't tell enough about our church. For example, what if we just called our church just Baptist Church? Would that be specific enough? Baptist Church. Well, if it was just called Baptist Church, you'd have trouble separating it from all the other hundreds of Baptist churches, scores of Baptist churches in Tempe alone, let alone the whole Phoenix area. So we went more descriptive than just Baptist Church, called Faithful Word Baptist Church, because the purpose of the name is to identify us, which church we are, who we are. Look at the term Christian in the Bible. This is the first time the word Christian is used. It's only used in the Bible. Get this. Who's ever heard the word Christian before? But yet, it's only in the Bible three times. So it's not used a lot in the Bible. The term that the Bible most uses is the saints. Talk about those who are saved. It uses the saints. And then it also uses the term believers. And then it also uses the term brethren. Those are the terms that are used for those who are saved. But we use the word Christian. This is the first of the three times that Christian is used. It says in Acts 11:26, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." So basically, after Jesus Christ is off the scene, after he's died and buried and risen again, after the apostles have been preaching for years and years and years and years, all the way in Acts chapter 11, they're at Antioch, and people begin to call them Christians. Okay? That wasn't something that they called themselves. That was something that other people applied to them. People applied that label to the Christian. Go to Acts 26. So we see in Acts 11:26 that people began to call the disciples Christians. That's what they were called by outsiders. They didn't call themselves that. Look at Acts 26:28. This is when Paul is preaching to Agrippa, and he's begging him to be saved. And this is what Agrippa says in verse 28. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He's saying, wow, you've preached so well, you've almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Okay? It's used one other place. Go to 1 Peter 4. This is the one place, and 1 Peter 4 is the one place where God uses the term Christian. God only uses it one time. Because in Acts 11, it was just outsiders calling them that. In Acts 26, it was an unsaved man saying, "Hey, you're almost convincing me to become a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Well, in 1 Peter 4:16 is how we know that Christian is a biblical term. It is a term that God sanctions because God did use it one time in the Bible. Here's what God said in 1 Peter 4:16. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Now, what is the term Christian, the one time God uses it, what is it associated with? Being persecuted for being a Christian. In chapter 11 of Acts, they're being called Christians by unsaved people. In Acts 26, another unsaved man calls it Christian. And in 1 Peter 4, he says, hey, you may suffer as a Christian. You know, you may be persecuted for being Christian. So it's not a term that God applied to them. It's a term that was applied to them by others. God just refers to it in 1 Peter 4:16. But what about the term Baptist? You say, is the term Baptist found in the Bible? Well, the term Baptist is found in the Bible 15 times. All 15 of those times, go to Matthew chapter 11. All 15 of the times that the word Baptist is used is about John the Baptist. That's the only time it's ever used in the Bible. It's never found in the plural, Baptists. It's just the term Baptist referring to John the Baptist, John Baptist. He's called that 15 times, and he's called that by Jesus. The first time that term is used is in Matthew 3, where God calls him John the Baptist. Then we see Jesus Christ himself while on this earth in Matthew 11, saying in verse 11, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So we see that God is the one who named John the Baptist. He called him that. He called him John the Baptist in Matthew 3. Jesus called him John the Baptist. And 15 times, he's known as John the Baptist. Now, I know this is a really hard question, but why was he called the Baptist? Because he baptized people, right? Now, does our church baptize people? Okay, yeah. They were like, why do you use that term Baptist? That's not a biblical term. The word Baptist, I mean, if I said so-and-so is a machinist, you know, what's that tell you? You know, he's basically working in a machine shop. And if I say that he's an artist, you know, it's someone who works in artwork. You know, John the Baptist, it's a term that was used by Jesus. So is there anything wrong with the term Baptist? If God and Jesus are the one who's applying it to John, he's a great man. He pointed people unto Jesus Christ. He said, hey, he must increase, but I must decrease. He said, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. I'm just pointing people to Jesus. I'm just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all about him. I must decrease. He must increase. And he said, I'm John the Baptist because I baptize. You know, there's nothing complicated about that. Does our church baptize people? Yes. Do we follow in the footsteps of John the Baptist? I sure hope so, because that's the greatest man that was ever born of a woman. And so that's why we use the term Baptist, because just like Anabaptist was referring to people who baptized people, who rebaptized them, Anabaptists, because they were fighting against a false religion that was sprinkling babies. And so they were called Anabaptists. We call ourselves Baptists because, number one, it historically associates us with the right people. I mean, it shows, okay, we are people who rebaptize people. We are people who are anti-Catholic. We are, oh, how can you say that? Of course we're anti. What, you think we're going to promote that garbage? That line, the biggest cult in the world? Calling the Pope, a man who calls himself Holy Father and blasphemy against God, when the Bible says, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven, who calls himself, the Pope calls himself, the first among many brethren, when the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. The Catholic Church, which worships Mary, who is only mentioned a few times in the Bible, who is not the emphasis of the Bible, Jesus Christ is the emphasis of the Bible, but yet you'll see, if you go soul winning anywhere in Phoenix or Tempe or Mexico, gigantic statues of Jesus, where literally Jesus is at her feet in miniature, and Mary is the one that they're worshiping. Mary is the one who they're praying to. Mary is the mediator, or they call her the mediatrix, the feminine version, when the Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So why do we call ourselves Baptists? Is it because we're part of the Southern Baptist Convention? No way. Is it because we're North American Baptists? No way. Are we part of the General Association of Regular Baptists? No way. Now look, notice how many different Baptist denominations there are, because there are a lot. You got your Southern Baptist, your North American Baptist, you got your GARB, your BBF, you know, and there are way more that I don't even have time to list. Because Baptist is such a broad term, just like Christian is a broad term. But Baptist is a lot more specific than Christian. Baptist is a lot more sanctioned by God than Christian, and the thing is, Baptist is going to separate us from a lot of the different false religions out there. It shows that we're not Protestant. We're not following the reformers of Martin Luther and John Calvin and John Knox, the people who started all these Protestant denominations, it shows that it's just a term referring to what we believe, what we do. We baptize, we rebaptize, we baptize a third time. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know, that's who we are. That's what we do. It's not some man that we're following, Lutheran. You know, we're not following a man. We're not following Luther. You know, we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. We're following the man who didn't found a religion. John the Baptist didn't found his own religion. He just sent everybody over to Jesus and pointed everybody to Jesus and did not start his own religion. Did not found his own religion like Martin Luther, who was basically just a Catholic in Protestant clothing, like all the rest of them were. And so the bottom line is that Baptist is a biblical term, and it associates us with the right people. Now, no name is ever going to be perfect. You know, because you'll find Baptist churches that will make you ashamed to have the name Baptist, right? You'll find a lot of people who call themselves Christian that would make you ashamed of the title Christian if you're going to be associated with false teaching and heresy. The devil is always going to try to take any name or any group and try to associate himself with it. And he'll claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that there would be people that would come in his name preaching false doctrine. You see, there are a lot of people who would abuse the term Christian, abuse the Holy Bible, abuse the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, abuse the name Baptist. But why is our church called Faithful Word Baptist Church? Let me just wrap it up with this. We choose Baptist not because we're part of a denomination, but just to at least get people in the ballpark of what we believe. Because if we just called it Faithful Word Christian, people would assume that that it's a new evangelical church, that it's going to be a modernistic, that we're preaching the NIV. Because look, let's face it, 9 times out of 10, or 99 times out of 100, if a church is just called so-and-so Christian Church, it's the NIV, there's no soul winning, it's watered down. At least if we say it's Baptist, they say, oh, Baptist, okay. It gets them in the ballpark that we're going to be more fundamental. Okay? We're going to be more Bible-believing than that. You say, what about the rest of the name? Why church? Why not call it Faithful Word Baptist Fellowship? Or Faithful Word Baptist Temple? Or Faithful Word Baptist Assembly? Well, the reason that we use the word church is because that's the most biblical word. I mean, you're going to find it hundreds of times in the Bible. Hundreds of times. It's the church here, the church there, the church at Corinth, the church at... So we choose the name church because we're trying to be as biblical with our name as possible. And we want people to know this is a church. That's what it is, a church. So let's call it a church, right? I mean, if I own a fire alarm business, I don't want to give it an ambiguous name where people don't know what that business is. You know, I'm not well known enough to where if they just hear the word Xerox, it's like, oh, you know, that's a copy machine company, only because it's well known. But what if I just call my business River Incorporated? Well, it's a fire alarm company, you know. Now, if you saw that name, you'd be like, what is it? River Incorporated? Tempe Inc. You know, Tempe Group Limited. It's like, what is it? You know, so if I start a fire alarm business, I'm going to call it Anderson Fire. Right? You know, I'm going to put that in the name. Fire. Because that's what it is. It's a fire alarm company. It's a fire safety company. So Anderson Fire. Okay. That's what I'm going to put in the name. So basically, I'm putting church in the name so that people will right away know that it's a church. So they see Baptist Church. Okay, so we know it's a group of people. There's going to be preaching and singing. And we know that it's people who look to John the Baptist. They look to the Holy Bible. They look to the man that God said was the greatest preacher to ever live. They look to him because he just pointed them to Jesus. You know, and that's who we're pointing people to. It's not about us. It's about him. They're Baptists, so we know that they're baptizing people. We know they're not going to be sprinkling. We know that they're not going to be not performing the act of baptism. We know it's Baptist. Well, that tells us that they're not Catholic, because Baptists have always been the archenemy of Catholic. Okay, we know that it's Baptist. Therefore, we know that at least every Baptist church that we've ever heard of, you know, said that the Bible is the final authority, and that salvation is through faith alone and the eternal security of the believer. So you say, well, Pastor Anderson, I get it. I get why we're called Baptist Church. Now you say, is it a sin for a church not to be called Baptist? What if a church was called Faithful Word Bible Church? Would that be a sin? Would that be wrong? Well, no, that would not be a sin. Because of the fact that sin is the transgression of the law, according to the Bible. Is there a law in the Bible that says you must be called Baptist? Is there a law like that? You must be called Baptist. No, that's not a law in the Bible. Therefore, it's impossible for something to be a sin that isn't violating God's law. That's what the definition of sin is. But hold on a second. You say, Pastor Andrew, why not call Faith Word Bible Church? After all, we believe the Bible. Now, first of all, that's not any more biblical than the name Baptist, because the word Bible is never found in the Bible. Did you know that? It's true. The word Bible is only found on the cover. It's not found in the Bible. Okay, so that, oh, we're going to be more scriptural. We're just going to call it Bible Church. Like, okay, well, that's pretty scriptural, except it's called the Word of God or the Scriptures. But it's never called the Bible. Now, I'm all for calling it the Bible. The Bible just means the book, and it truly is the book. And the word book is found in it many times. But that's what Bible means. I'm all for calling it the Bible. But you say, why not call it Bible Church? Because you know what? I look at all the Bible churches, and pretty much everyone I see is totally watered down. And they're calling it Bible Church because they're trying to be more generic, just like Christian or community church is just trying to be more generic. My goal with the name, now is it a sin to be called Bible Church? No. Could there theoretically be a great church that's called so-and-so Bible Church? Hey, there could be. But usually when you see churches that are called so-and-so Christian Church or so-and-so Bible Church, it kind of tells you something about their philosophy, that they're trying to not be very specific about who they are or what they are, because they're just trying to bring everybody in. You say, Pastor Anderson, don't you want to bring everybody in? No. What? Bring everybody? No. We're not trying to bring everybody in. We're trying to go out and reach everybody. We're not trying to bring everybody in. Why don't we just pack this place out with unsaved people? Because that wouldn't be a church anymore. Because the whole point of having a church is an assembly of believers. Now, do unsaved people visit? Sure. He said in 1 Corinthians 14, from time to time, an unbeliever will walk into your church. And hopefully they'll be hearing the right preaching. And he explains that in 1 Corinthians 14. But he didn't say, well, 90% of your crowd's going to be unsaved in that church. And after Christ, he said, no, one person might stumble in. Yeah, we have visitors all the time that are unsaved. But you know what? Our goal is not to just get everybody in here. Our goal is to go out and preach the gospel. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To go out and get them saved. And the people that we want to actually come to our church are the people who want this kind of church. I mean, that want to go to a church where the Bible's preached, where the truth is preached, where people are winning souls, where everybody's excited about doing something big for God. Not just a social club, not a watered-down church. And so we want people to know what we are. Have you ever noticed something? That we rarely have people come to our church and get mad and walk out during the preaching or yell at me while I'm preaching. It doesn't happen that often. Now, every once in a while, I think the last time it happened was about 4 weeks ago. But anyway, you know, somebody got up and walked out. But that's pretty rare. You know why? Because when I preach a lot of things that maybe aren't popular and show a lot of things in the Bible that are really unpopular today, most people who are here, they already expected that. They already knew who we were before they even walked in the door. Because not only do we call our church Faithful Word Baptist Church, we go a step further. When we hand out, does anybody have the invitations to our church? Somebody got one? You know. Anybody got one? There we go, thank you. You know, when we go out and knock doors and go soul winning, we go a step further. We don't just have a name, Faithful Word Baptist Church, that tells you, hey, we're a church. Good name, huh? Church. That's what we are. Baptist. Okay? So we're already giving information to people, right, about who we are. Then even the name, Faithful Word. Most people hear that term, Faithful Word, and they're going to see, okay, they're emphasizing what? The Word of God. So we're emphasizing God's Word right away in our name. And we're saying Faithful Word. What does faithful mean? A faithful servant is somebody you can trust. You can put your faith in them. So we're saying, hey, our faith is in God's Word. We trust God's Word. We believe that God's Word is faithful. We believe that it's true. We're following. So that just from the name, people can usually figure out. Somebody said to me before, hey, I could tell you were King James only because your church was called Faithful Word. So obviously you believe that we have the Faithful Word. And a lot of people have made that comment that right away it said to them, hey, you know, it's a King James Bible believing church just from the name. That's good if people know who we are. We're not trying to hide that. Oh, by the way, we're King James only. But, you know, don't worry about it. Yeah. We're not trying to hide who we are. But not only that, we go a step further. We say right on the front that we're independent, not part of a denomination. We say that we're fundamentalist. You know, we're not changing with the times. We're not liberals. We're fundamentalists. And then on the inside, explanation of why we're King James Version only. Explanation of the preaching. Explanation of what type of church we are and why we do what we do. Because we want people to know what we believe about salvation on the back here. Before they even get here, they already know what we are. They know who we are. And so we don't waste people's time by just bringing in a ton of people who are going to hate our church anyway. No, you better know what you're getting into. Here you go. We'll tell you everything about it. And if you want to come here, then praise God. This is the church for you. And if you don't want to come here, then go somewhere else. We're not just trying to bring everybody in with a generic name. Christ Community of Tempe. Everyone welcome. Come on in. You know, then you're going to get a ton of unbelievers in here. And then I'm going to start preaching, and then they're all going to freak out. Because they're not used to hearing the Bible preached. Because they expected something else. I want to put out the image of what we really are. I want people to look at the way that I dress and know I'm a man. They don't look at me and say, is that a man or a woman? What do you think? And I've had that conversation before in the airport and elsewhere. When you look at people, you're like, what is that? What is that thing? You know, it's like people look at me right away. It's like, why do I dress the way I dress? To identify myself. Even the way that I dress tells people a lot. When they walk in, if I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt and shorts and a pair of flip-flops, that wouldn't be a sin. But wouldn't it put forth the wrong impression of what type of a church this is and what type of preaching they're going to hear? It's going to give people the wrong image. They're going to assume that I'm Rick Warren Southwest up here. You know, they're going to assume that I'm watered down. They're going to assume that I'm one of these easy listening Christianity preachers. Okay, and so we want the name to express clearly who we are. We want to show everybody who we are. We don't want to hide it. We're proud of it. We want to stand up and shout from the housetops everything we believe. That's why we'll just write out, spell out to people, hey, King James only, hard preaching. It's going to be hard preaching. It's going to be the hymns. It's not going to be contemporary worship, Christian rock and roll, jam for Jesus. We want people to know what we are, who we are. That's why I name my children, so that people can know who they are. That's why they have the name Anderson, so that people will know, hey, they are the son of Pastor Anderson. That's why I have the name Anderson, because I'm my father's son. We name things and people names that are appropriate and fitting of that thing. And this church is Baptist for all the reasons I listed. It's a church. We believe in the faithful word. Now, it's still not a perfect name because people still might not know everything about us. But you know what? At least it gets them in the ballpark. And that's why our church is called Baptist. That's why I'm Baptist. Is it wrong not to be? People have asked, you know, well, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? Like, what would be the next best denomination? I just say, hey, if I weren't a Baptist, I'd be ashamed of myself. You know? But anyway, that's what I'd be. But anyway, the bottom line is, it's hard enough to find a good church among Baptists. Even among Baptists, there's so many who've compromised, so many who've watered down the message, so many who will not preach the truth clearly. But let me tell you this, folks. And you know, you can believe me or not, you can get upset about this or not, but it's true. If you go outside the realm of churches that have Baptist in the name, I got one thing to tell you. It's a jungle out there. Because even within Baptist, there's so much variation. You know, there are all different types of Baptist churches. Some of them are, you know, calling themselves Baptist, but they're part of a denomination and they're not independent and so forth. But even among Baptists, there is so much heresy that you'll find. But let me tell you something, when you step outside the realm of Baptist, it's a jungle out there. And you know, if you don't believe me, that's fine. Go try every community church, because you're going to have to try them all, because they won't tell you what they believe. You can't figure out what they believe. You have no clue. Community church, you don't know if they're Baptist, Assemblies of God, Pentecostal, Charismatic, you don't know. But go ahead, try them all. But I'll tell you something, I've yet to find a church that was a fire-breathing, soul-winning, King James Bible preaching church that didn't have Baptist in the name. I mean, it's just true. And maybe, I'm not saying it's not out there, and I'm sure that there probably is one out there, you know, if we look long enough. But I'm going to tell you something, they're making themselves pretty hard for people to find by hiding in the disguise of all these other just community non-denom churches, so-called. And it's a jungle out there. Have fun trying to find it. Because pretty much every church you find in this area, it's so-and-so Christian church, so-and-so community church, so-and-so Bible church. They're not preaching the King James. They're not singing the hymns. They're not out knocking doors, winning souls to Christ like Jesus commanded us in the book of Acts and in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're not out doing the works. They're not preaching hard on sin. It's just a fact. And so that's why our church is Baptist. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, I pray that people would understand the sermon that was preached this morning, dear God, and not maybe the most exciting sermon or maybe the one that is life-changing, but God, just please help us to understand there's a reason why that we do things and that we shouldn't try to hide what we are. We should proudly proclaim the truths of the Bible, the doctrines of the Bible, that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we baptize people, that we're a rebaptizer, that we're not a compromiser, that we believe the Bible is your word. Help us, Father, to wear that badge proudly and not try to hide behind ambiguous names and hazy titles. And Father, I just pray that everyone here would profit from the message this morning and let these things sink in their ears. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.